We need to be warned that when you sow to the flesh, the wreckage of your sin will certainly be reaped by you, but it will be reaped by those around you, and it may persist for generations. There are consequences, even in the believer's life, for sowing to your flesh.
Well, thanks for joining us for this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day. And I have a comment from Shira in Arizona. She said, "I absolutely love your radio program. I'm so blessed by the sermons and so grateful. Thank you so very much." Well, Shira, thank you so much for your encouragement. And we are so thankful for the privilege to share God's word. And it just blesses us so much to know that God is using his word to work in the hearts of his people.
Greg, as you continue the buildup to Lot's end, after all the crazy stuff that had occurred, Lot still walked by sight and not by faith. His heart is still clinging to what he had accumulated in the flesh.
Yes, and yet for Lot, as a believer caught in sin, we're going to see God's hand of mercy extended. Let's continue our study in Genesis chapter 19, verses 30 through 38.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, just a caution for those who have little ones. Greg will be speaking about some things in today's message that are sexual in nature and thus are unsuitable for children. Therefore, we ask you to protect their little ears. So with that in mind, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
And Abraham, being a godly man, gave Lot the choice. Go one way, I'll go that way. You go this way, I'll go that way. And Lot lifted up his eyes, chapter 13, verse 10, and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, that this was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as far as you go to Zoar. Now, as we get to the point later on in Genesis, you're starting to hear little clues earlier, Zoar and Sodom and all these things. Moses, inspired by the Spirit, is giving us clues of what is to come. And on a side note, that's why it's really good when you study Scripture to read through the entire book a couple times, to get a better grasp of the whole before you study the parts. So here, Lot was motivated by self-interest, walking by sight, not by faith. And this is where the downward spiral begins for many believers. Setting a mind on those things which will physically benefit, or whatever it might be, the things of this life, setting your desire on those and making decisions to follow those desires. And if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. When I think of that passage, I just think of like a car just going off a cliff and just being destroyed, plunging over the side. God is warning us that believers can end up in ruin and destruction. Yet the reality is that the world lives that way. So if this is the way you're heading, you might want to examine yourself to see if you really know Jesus. There's a lot more revelation in the New Testament concerning who is of the Lord and who isn't. Brother and sister, if you are not content with your circumstances, if you are not content with what you have, you are beginning the downward spiral. Lot should have fled, but he found himself wanting more and more. Chapter 13, verse 12, Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tents as far as Sodom. He's getting closer. And I warn you, if you are seeking the things of this world or holding on to them, banking them, managing them in a way that you hold on to them, loving the thought of ease and comfort that comes through the things of this life, you're in danger. Now, although it is not wrong to be rich, later on in 1 Timothy, the rich are instructed to be rich in good deeds and to not fix their hope in the uncertainty of riches, but in God who gives all things to richly to enjoy, laying up a treasure in heaven, not on earth. But we need to recognize there's a very fine line where we begin to long for it or put our hope in it, and it's temptation with that. Turn to Luke chapter 12. It's a long portion. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you'd be wise to read it on your own. I'm going to pick out some portions of it and share it with you. Luke chapter 12, starting with verse 13. And someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." It's interesting. But he said to him, that's the Lord Jesus, man, who appointed me judge and arbiter over you? And notice Jesus cuts right to the issue. And he said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of what? Greed. It's idolatry, right? But it's the desire to have more than what you need. The longing for it. More than what is your lot. He says, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For, he's going to explain, not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. It's stuff, right? And he told them a parable saying, the land of a certain rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns, build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's the mindset of the non-believer. That's the mindset of greed, living for this life only, storing it up for your own pleasure and ease. Seeing it as all for you. And notice what he says. But God said to him, verse 20, you fool. This very night your soul is required, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And then you can read the rest in your own time, but go down to verse 29. And do not seek what you shall eat and what you shall drink, and do not keep worrying. For these things, the nations, the unbelieving nations is what Jesus is saying, the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things, but seek for his kingdom, and these things shall be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. It doesn't say hold on to it, it says give it. Make for yourselves purses that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near or moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The danger of having stuff is hoping and keeping and hoarding for yourself. Sell it, obviously. Now, he's not saying everyone who has money go out and sell everything. He's talking about the issues of the heart. If you are like that rich man, sell your stuff. And the way that you have a heart that desires to sell it is you need to be redeemed. You need to have a changed heart. But the point I'm saying here is that what you treasure is where your heart's going to be. Beware of every form of greed, and it comes in subtly in all sorts of different ways. What is effectively your master each day? What do you treasure? The way you spend your time will reveal that. Are you focused on money, making money, keeping money? Are the things to this world you're focused on? Houses, cars, clothes, music, leisure, relationships? None of these things are evil in and of themselves. But when my focus is on them, they're very evil. Are you content? Seek first his kingdom. Lot was not content. And we see him moving closer and closer to Sodom. Sodom was a place where he could make money and be prominent. And we find in chapter 14, verse 12, Lot was living in Sodom. We know in chapter 14 that God was already starting to discipline him. The Mesopotamian king swooped down and took all the kings of that area and all the people and took them away, including Lot. Sodom was taken away, but Uncle Abraham chased after them and trusted the Lord and delivered them. That should have been a wake-up call for Lot. Get out of there! But it wasn't. We find him back in Sodom in chapter 19. So, back in our passage, we have the wicked man. Lot has made his wicked offer, showing how far his mind has gone, showing how he can rationalize things in such a wicked way. And you may be thinking about the things you have rationalized to get your way. Or even to do something right by doing something wrong. Chapter 19, verse 9. This is the wicked men of Sodom. But they said, stand aside. Furthermore, they said, this one came in as an alien and is already acting like a judge. Now we will treat you worse than them. Nice guys, huh? That's the guys you hang out with? Those are your brothers? Lot? So they pressed hard against Lot and came near to break the door down. Verse 10, but the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the doorway. The angels deliver Lot out of the bind. Lot's negotiation didn't work at all. And then we see that they explain what's going on. Verse 12. Then the men said to Lot, whom else do you have here? A son-in-law, your sons and your daughters, whomever you have in the city, bring them out of this place, for we are about to destroy this place. There's the reality of what's going to happen. Because their outcry has become so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us to destroy it. God will judge sin, and he does judge sin, and Sodom is an example of that. But yet he is gracious and merciful. He is patient, not willing for any to perish. So Lot does believe what they say, and he does respond. Verse 14, and Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-laws who were to marry his daughters and said, up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he appeared to the sons-in-laws to be jesting. Lot has no testimony at all. He's saying, God's going to destroy the city. The Lord's going to destroy it. Ha, 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 Lot, stop joking. Lot isn't joking. He's serious. But they don't listen to him. So how can we, believers, avoid the tragic consequences of worldliness? We need to recognize that when you walk by sight and not by faith, you will find yourself in greater and greater and greater sin. It all starts out very small. Secondly, we need to be warned that when you sow to the flesh, the wreckage of your sin will certainly be reaped by you, but it will be reaped by those around you, and it may persist for generations. There are consequences, even in the believer's life, for sowing to your flesh. And we see here, and we saw last week, that Lot reaped the harvest of God's discipline. And as a result, Mrs. Lot, the unbeliever, lost her life. And yet because of Abraham's prayer, Lot was delivered. Verse 15, and when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment. Literally the iniquity of the city. God is punishing because of sin. Here we have the direct relationship of God's judgment to sin. And here's Lot's response. But he hesitated. He was delaying. And why would he hesitate? Obviously, Lot hasn't fully confessed his sin yet. We're going to see that later. Lot is a believer who hasn't seen the relationship of God's judgment upon his and for his sin. He hasn't seen it. And he's not repentant. He's hesitating. He's delaying. Tragic reality. Things are going to be destroyed. He might be swept away. He's lingering. It shows where his heart has become attached. And you may be lingering with the things that are attached to you. And God is saying, get rid of them. Get rid of your heart's attachment to them. If anything is pulling your heart from the Lord, you need to get rid of it. Yet in spite of this, he hesitates, but yet God is gracious. Middle of verse 16. So the men seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his two daughters, for the compassion of the Lord, or mercy of the Lord, was upon them. And they brought him out and put him outside the city. Notice it doesn't say he brought them out, brought him. The focus is righteous Lot, by the way. His family is being blessed by their association with the believer, by the way. But we're going to see that it was God's mercy that brought him out, obviously. But it was also because of Abraham's intercession, his prayer, that God answered the prayer and brought Lot out. And as I shared last week, it's my full belief that if Abraham had not prayed for him, that God would have allowed Lot to perish in that. As you see in the New Testament, that there are sins that lead to death for believers. God's judgment, temporal disciplinary judgment, that you may not be judged with the world, as we see in 1 Corinthians 11. So he hesitates, but the angels grab him. What happens next? A series of commands, verse 17. And it came about when they brought them outside that one said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you. Or actually, the word means gaze or render. Do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, lest you be swept away. And at this point, you would think Lot would say, yes, 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 run, 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 yes, yes. But he says, no. Verse 18, but Lot said to them, "Oh no, my lords." It's stunning. We need to learn from it, lest we be in the same spot. You can be so hardened by your sin. You can be so hardened to the truth of God by your sin. Oh no, my lords. And then he says, basically, now behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your loving kindness, which you have shown me by saving my life, but I cannot escape the mountains, lest the disaster overtake me and I die. Lot doesn't believe the truth that they're going to deliver him. He thinks he's going to die. And the rest is quite incredible. And if we didn't know the rest of the story, which we'll look at today, we would be surprised. Why would these angels grant Lot this request? Why would they allow him to go to this city? I don't understand it. I don't understand it. So what happens? Verse 20. Now behold, this town is near enough to flee to, and it's small. Please let me escape there, Lot requests. Is it not small, that my life may be saved? He thinks he's going to die. He's not going to make it. Lot wants to escape to this small town. He is a fearful man, not a man of faith. He's not trusting the Lord. These are the Lord's representatives. They are saying, do this, do this, do this. And when you obey the Lord God, you are protected. But he's negotiating. Verse 21, he said, and the angels respond. And he said to him, behold, I grant you this request, not to overthrow the town which you have spoken. Obviously, his request was, don't overthrow this town. I want to go there. The town of Zoar was slated for God's judgment, which meant there were people in there just as guilty as those of Sodom. We need to know that when we get to our portion later. And God spared that. The term Zoar means insignificant. It's a small town. But brothers and sisters, we need to flee. Flee worldliness. Flee those desires. Run away from them. Get away from it. Don't linger with it. So what happens? Lot is safe in Zoar, and God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah in the cities of the valley. Verse 23, the sun had risen over the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. It's the next day. Lot is safe in Zoar because of Abraham's intercession, and now God rains down fire and brimstone, and that points to God's judgment for sin. I shared all the passages last week, but remember that for those who don't trust in Christ, who are still in their sins, you will spend eternity in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone. Revelation 21:8, but for the cowardly and unbelieving, abominable, murderers, immoral persons, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Friends, the destruction of Sodom is a picture and a warning of what will come in the future for those who are in their sins. God is a holy and just God, and he will bring about judgment upon sin. And not only were these Sodomites judged physically, they were judged also spiritually speaking. Jude verse 7. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they same way indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. They went from the fire of God's earthly destruction of Sodom to the fire of judgment, eternal fire for their sins. That day will come like this. Either the Lord comes or you die, one or the other. And it'll come as fast as you can snap your fingers. And it's a warning for those who will live ungodly thereafter. God is warning you today that if your sins are not covered, you are in danger. You are in danger of entering into eternal judgment forever like that. Turn to Christ before it's too late. God is a righteous judge. He will judge you for your sin. But he sent his son Jesus, who died for your sins. He paid the complete price God requires. And if you trust in Jesus Christ, believing he died for your sins and rose from the dead, if you call out to him to be saved from what? The punishment of your sins. He will save you. So we obviously see God's judgment, but also we see for Lot that we need to be warned. You will reap what you sow. Notice also what happens to Mrs. Lot, verse 26, but his wife from behind him looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Luke chapter 17, the Lord Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. In the context of keeping everything and giving up your soul, that's the very next verse after remember Lot's wife. You see, the world lives that way, and if your heart is in the world, it may be an evidence that you don't know the living God, that you are like Mrs. Lot and not like Mr. Lot. She looked back with longing. Lot didn't look back. He had his issues, as we'll see, and he was being disciplined severely, and he would lose it all. But she lost her soul. Remember Lot's wife, and we didn't read it last week, but verse 32, right after this, whoever seeks to keep his life shall lose it, whoever loses his life shall preserve it. In a single vivid picture, we have the fate and destiny of those who choose this life and their sin over true eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. So this all began with Lot longing for a better land and the riches and promise that would come with it. And so far we have him losing everything, including his wife. Lot is the picture of a believer in deep sin who was experiencing God's disciplinary judgment. And indeed, he would not have been spared if Abraham had not interceded. Verse 27, now Abraham arose early in the morning and went to the place where he stood before the Lord. Remember, we talked about chapter 18. You can read that. There was a conversation with Abraham and the Lord. Abraham was pleading with the Lord concerning the city of Sodom. Verse 28, and so he gets up early, and he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and towards the land of the valley, and he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land ascended like the smoke of a furnace. This place was destroyed. God had rained down fire and brimstone, as we saw earlier. Then we have the inspired commentary. Thus, it came about when God destroyed the cities of the valley, this is verse 29, that God remembered who? Abraham. Doesn't say God remembered Lot. God remembered Abraham and sent out Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot lived. How gracious and merciful the Lord is. But the direct application is that God could have and would have let Lot be destroyed at least temporarily with those sinners in Sodom. He was a righteous man. He would have eternal life and did and does, but he would lose it all. 1 Corinthians 3:15, if any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as through fire. So amazingly at this point, Lot continues to walk by sight through his own wisdom and desire, and thus reaps more horrible wreckage in his family. It's amazing to read. We need to see it.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. Like you said, Greg, we need to see it. We who have turned from sin to Christ were all unbelievers, so we know that life. But even after turning to Christ, the old nature wants to look back like Mrs. Lot did, and that look can start the subtle creeping back into worldliness.
You know, indeed it can, one taste at a time. But yet God was merciful. He sent his mercy to believing Lot, his messengers of judgment. They physically had to grab him by the hand and his wife and his daughters and put them out of the city before total destruction. Even in the midst of Lot's decline, God was merciful, and yet he experienced terrible consequences. Now, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and you want to avoid a similar fate as those in Sodom, turn to Christ now. Yet if you're a believer, Don't be fooled into thinking that you can go the direction of Lot and everything will be just fine. The reality is God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will reap. And Lot reaped what he sowed.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.